He's our Sportsnet and CBS Sports NFL insider, Jason Lockenfora, joins us now on the big show as part of Football Fridays. And Jason, again, another blowout type game on Thursday Night Football. What do you guys got to do?
Well, you know, we had a couple of decent ones at least. You know, the Jets gave the Patriots a game, and that probably deserved a win. I felt like that was compelling football. The week before that, you know, the Texans came back after being down big and made it close and made it a one-score game. And from what I've heard, the ratings last night were higher than anything, much higher than anything before. It's Peyton Manning working at master class, and so even though it became a three-score game at one point, and I still always had the sense that the Chargers were in that thing. I mean, if not for that pass interference call on the sideline, I mean, the blown pass interference call that led to an interception. You know, Aqib Talib was holding Keenan Allen's arm. They didn't call it. Becomes an interception. You know, if they call PI there, I felt like the Chargers make this one-score game. Anything's possible. You know, I felt like Phillip Rivers had something in him. So even in the fourth quarter, it wasn't quite, I didn't think, totally out of reach. But it was Peyton, you know, at sort of operating at an optimal level. And people want to see that. I'm told even into the fourth quarter, the rating was you know, over 13, and it peaked over 14 from like 9 to 10 o'clock Eastern time. So, you know, I'm sure we would have loved some better games at CBS. They looked good on paper. There's only so much you can do. But the games were pretty heavily watched, and hopefully if we get them back on CBS next year, they'll be a little more compelling.
With this Denver Broncos team, who now moved to 6-1, it seemed like a lot of people had question marks about them going into this season, and would they be able to have some sort of follow up to their Super Bowl appearance the year before? Well, 6-1 to start the season, this team looks like the team to beat in the AFC, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I have to tip my cap to their defense. They're more balanced than they were a year ago. They absolutely are. And they don't have to score 35, 38 to win. Doesn't mean they can't drop 35 or 38 on you if you're not careful. But it doesn't seem like they need that. There are more big plays coming from the defense. There's a few more things they can rely on there. Certainly, Miller and Ware form a great tandem the way that Miller and Dumervil once did. So they've got their anchors back
right.
Pass rush. Talib has been special for them. In their secondary is someone who can lock down the other team's best wide out if he has to. T.J. Ward has made them a more physical defense, tougher to play against, more of a thumper back there. You know, and I already like some of their D tackles. So, yeah, they're much more fortified defensively. They play more physically. And with Hillman's running the hell out of the football right now, I mean, they can be very balanced on offense as well. So they're going to be a tough out, but they've also played 5 of the first 7 at home. They're a team that seems to get its fair share of calls. I don't know if number 18 has anything to do with that or not, but you know, they seem to have caught a fair amount of breaks other than Monty Ball. I guess maybe they lost a linebacker too, but to be at the midpoint of the season, they're pretty healthy. They've been pretty lucky in that regard. So we'll just have to see. You know, we'll have to see how things play out. Nothing they do matters until I won't even say January. It's February, right? I mean, if they don't play in February and win in February, then it hasn't been a successful season. That's just where they are in terms of their program, how they're constructed. And we don't know. There's no guarantee that Peyton's back next year. So this is certainly a Super Bowl or bust year, and we'll see if they can make it happen in February.
What about San Diego? How hard are they to figure out right now?
Well, they're beat up. I mean, I think they're due for a slip here. They were playing over their heads. They were surviving despite a run of injuries. But you just kind of wondered when the other shoe would drop. And their schedule is tough now. I know they're in this stage where they only play like twice in 23 days. But, you know, they've got some – I mean, even the games that don't look that tough. I mean, they have to go to Baltimore. They still have some tough NFC West teams to play, like I think San Francisco. So it's not going to be easy for them. And I just wonder if they're deep enough to survive this because, you know, I didn't love that offensive line to begin with. And you take a couple parts out, you get down to your fourth or fifth center, and you get worried. I like this kid Oliver a lot, but they've already lost 5 running backs. So, you know, is there going to be more? The linebackers, they're wiped out at linebacker right now. You know, they didn't have Flowers last night. that their top corner, that was going to be a take for them going to Denver on a short week without some of those key parts. And I still thought they kind of hung in there. But it's going to be interesting. Kansas City looks legit. You think maybe two teams could still come out of the AFC North between a Baltimore and a Cincinnati and maybe a Pittsburgh in that mix. So that'll be very interesting to see if the Chargers can keep this up. Phillip Rivers is going to have to be a bona fide MVP candidate week in, week out, I think, for them to be a team that makes hay in the postseason. But we'll see. I mean, they were down pass rushers. They were down linebackers. They were down corners last night. And, yeah, they gave up 35. But, as I said, in the fourth quarter, they were still in that game. I mean, they get one call goes their way, and it's a one-possession game, and I think the Broncos might have got a little tight.
We're in conversation with Jason Lacanfora. He's our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Week 8 of the NFL season started last night with a 35-21 Denver Broncos win over the San Diego Chargers. Week 8 continues, obviously, on Sunday. I'm curious as to where you are with the Seattle Seahawks. Two straight losses. They're at 500. They're on the road in Carolina this weekend. Are the Seahawks struggling, or are they going to be just fine?
I think they'll be okay. I think the answer is yes and yes. They are struggling. But I have a hard time thinking they lose three in a row. I mean, maybe they do. But I feel like that's a Carolina defense, that they can just stick to Marshawn Lynch and go with a pretty simple approach and just outwill them. Defensively, it's a lot of the same cast of characters, but not the same production. I mean, last year they destroyed people in the turnover ratio. They had five more picks than anybody in the league. They were getting after the passer pretty regularly. Now they're right at the bottom of the league in turnovers. They're dead last in interceptions. The Legion of Boom is not getting it done. I don't know if they can quickly flip that switch or get that back instantaneously. I don't think they'll be this bad all year defensively from a statistical standpoint. I think they'll be fine. I still think they're a playoff team. Look, nobody really repeats in this league. I mean, it's an awful lot to think someone's going to, even getting back, winning your division and going deep in the playoffs. We don't see that happen too often for Super Bowl teams. So that's another very interesting division. I mean, Arizona, they just find ways to win. San Francisco, they've had their ups and downs, but I think they'll be there in the end. And Seattle, I don't know that all three of them can make it. And I'm kind of interested to see who's left, at the game of musical chairs, who's left standing. Mm.
Well, and that one of those teams is in kind of one of the other marquee matchups in the NFC. One of the late games has 5-1 Arizona taking on 5-1 Philadelphia. Does either team strike you as having an edge in this game?
Well, I'll go with the team that's on a bye, even though they're traveling. You know, the Eagles they're getting healthy, and that's such a huge part of the game, especially at this time of year. They started getting the run game back before the bye. I don't know that they'll have Jason Kelce, their star center, or Evan Mathis, their top guard, back for this game, but they're getting close. And LeSean McCoy looked better than he had all year before the bye, and then he got to rest. They might get Darren Sproles back for this game. And you've got Chip Kelly with all this time to prepare, and knowing that he's getting weapons back. I'm never going to love them defensively, but when they do what they want to do offensively, it's much like what Dallas is doing. When they do what they want to do on the ground, it keeps the defense off the field. It's hard for me to pick against Arizona because since Bruce Arians has been there, they just win games, find ways to win. But I didn't love Carson Palmer last week. They've had so many injuries. I mean, they're kind of like the San Diego of the NFC. I mean, they've had so many injuries, and they've just found a way to win and sustain and keep a great record going. But I just kind of wonder if at some point, I won't say the bottom falls out, but that they get a little bit of a dose of reality, and that next man up isn't always ready to go. So the mitigator is turnovers, right? And Carson Palmer, I mean, he's turned it over about as much as anybody in the league the last 6 years. And this year, Nick Foles has turned it over as much as anyone in the league. And last year, it was all about a couple of interceptions or whatever. He's been a turnover machine lately, and I know that's one thing that, I mean, Philadelphia's good, but they're not good enough to overcome a quarterback who goes from being a game manager to a game destroyer.
With Jason Lacanfora, our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com, two AFC matchups I want to bounce off of you. And one of them doesn't necessarily look a whole really sexy on paper in Houston and Tennessee, but the Texans get Jadeveon Clowney back. He's in the lineup, and you take a look at them at 3-4. They were kind of one of the early season surprises under Bill O'Brien. Now they've lost a few games. Is this season salvageable for the Texans?
Well, I don't think they were ever going to the playoffs. They've already won more games than they did a year ago. They're not getting blown out. I mean, the games they've lost, I mean, they played Dallas till the very end in Dallas. And they were, and that's a game they could have won. And they played Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh and should have won on a, you know, on a tough Monday night, except for some crazy turnovers. So they're right there. Look, they, offensively, it's no great shakes. They don't get much out of the passing game. It's all Arian Foster. They rely on a few big special teams plays, and for J.J. Watt to do his thing. Getting Clowney back is huge. And they haven't played Tennessee or Jacksonville yet. So they have four games remaining with them, right? So there are three wins now. If they take care of business against those teams, or at least win three of the four, now you're up to six wins. You know, could they split with the Colts? I thought they played the Colts pretty good on a Thursday night at home. So, I mean, I thought they'd be much improved. I thought they'd win between six and eight games. And they probably still are in that sweet spot if they take advantage of games within their division, like getting Zach Mettenberger in his first NFL start this week.
Final thought for you, that's Indianapolis and Pittsburgh, and the Steelers have they've had some pretty dramatic wins at times this year. Indianapolis, yeah. We know what they're capable of doing, and we know the way they're able to throw the football, and a lot of people expecting Andrew Luck to maybe victimize that Pittsburgh secondary, but is it that simple with Indy going on the road?
No, it's never that simple. This is another big game for Pittsburgh. They need to, you know, they've been up and down all year. They know they need to put some consistency together. And look, even in that game against Houston last week, before the things went crazy, before the two-minute warning, they were the same old Steelers. You had Ben couldn't get the ball to anybody other than Antonio Brown. You had defensively giving up big plays, not able to stop Arian Foster, no pass rush. So, you know, they had that great run of 2 minutes there, and then the rest of the game, the Texans still stayed in it. So, the Steelers are a very hard team to get put a finger on. The thing that intrigues me about this game is the Colts are the more physical team in this game, and no one would have said that 2-3 years ago. When you're talking about Colts and Steelers, you would have said it's a mismatch. It's a finesse offense and a speed defense versus a power offense and a an incredibly menacing defense, and that's just not the case. The Colts have a much better pass rush going under Greg Minuski, their coordinator, and Chuck Pagano, their coach. I have no idea how they're doing it because you look at that roster and say, get out of here, but they're doing it, and they're doing it consistently. The Steelers' offensive line has not been what I thought it would be. There's still issues there. Ben still holds the ball too long. We'll see if this Martavis Bryant can emerge as a true complementary receiver to Brown, but right now, really, it's all through Brown. It's Le'Veon Bell and Brown. That's not the diverse offense I thought they'd be. And you brought up the secondary, which is a great point. I mean, does Cortez Allen play more this week? You know, they benched him last week. Do they get him more involved against a team that can spread you out a little bit? Reggie Wayne won't play. But T.Y. Hilton really is the guy you have to stop there now anyway, and it's particularly Ahmad Bradshaw. And the Steelers don't have that speed we're used to at the linebacker position. And I wouldn't be surprised if Andrew Luck tries to screen him to death with Ahmad Bradshaw and try to get, you know, the Jason Worlds of the world out in space and see if some mismatches can be presented that way. I lean towards the Colts, but this is also kind of a game where, like, if the Steelers are really going to make a stand about where they are and say we're not good enough being 8-8 anymore and, you know, we are going to be a factor in the tough AFC North, then this would be the perfect time to do it.
Jason, as always, appreciate this. We'll talk to you again on Tuesday, but enjoy Week 8 on Sunday.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.